We go.
Kum lan and ablat gemara. We are up to now samach aleph amud aleph on top of the page. Actually, we'll start the last few words samach on beis. And we're talking about what a person can walk, can wear on Shabbos, and it's not considered a masa carrying something. And midrabban also, when I worry that you might end up carrying it. So we learned the first thing we learned was about a sandal because of an incident that occurred. We don't want them to wear a sandal with nails in it. And then we said you should not wear one shoe on one foot. Now, why not? Why shouldn't you wear one shoe on one foot? If you don't have a wound on the other foot, you shouldn't wear a shoe on one foot. And I told you that Rashi brings two explanations as to why. One explanation Rashi brings is that people will mock you when they see you only have one shoe, so you might remove it and hide it and walk with it. And the other one is that people suspect that you walked out of the house with two shoes, and the other one you didn't bother putting on your foot and you're just carrying it. So, but it says if there is a makkah on one of the feet, then you're allowed to wear a shoe. Why? Oh yes, but ugly makkah nothing. If you have a one of your feet, let's say, are hurt, and you can't really put any pressure on it, you're allowed to wear one shoe. The question is, which foot can you wear the shoe? On the one that's healthy or the one that is sick? Behind an eye nafik, which one should you be wearing a shoe? Amar Rav Huna said, but oyseshir makkah, on the foot that they have the wound, that's the one they should be wearing a shoe. And what's the logic of that? Almuk, so we see clothes from here, because somebody holds, sandal l'shum tzar avid. What's the reason why you wear a shoe in the first place? You wear it because it's painful when you have all those, you know, nails and everything else that you're walking on. So if people see that you are limping, and they know that you have a wound on that leg, then they're not worried, you're not concerned that that maybe you know you're carrying the other shoe. They realize that that the only reason that you're wearing the shoe is because it's painful, and you have only one foot that's more painful than the other, and that's the one that you're wearing a shoe on. So you're wearing a shoe on the one on the leg that is wounded, and there's more pain there than the other one. So they understand. And nobody's going to suspect that you're carrying it, or nobody's going to mock you. But Chibar Rav says, you know which foot you should put the shoe on? You should put it on the foot that does not have a wound, because it's sort of a luxury to wear a shoe. It's actually just a sort of a luxury to wear a shoe, and they could tell then that the reason why he's wearing one shoe is because the other foot that is wounded, it's quite clear that the reason why you're not putting on a shoe is because you're very fastidious, very picky, particular, and the foot that's wounded, you don't want to put pressure, and it's uncomfortable, it's not pleasurable. So therefore, nobody's going to mock you, or nobody's going to suspect that you're carrying the other shoe somewhere in your pocket. The zushi yesh b'makkah, has a makkah, makosa muchachas, everyone realizes what's going on here. You're not putting, okay, so af Rabbi Yechon, we want to prove that Rabbi Yechon actually agrees, so Rav Huna agrees with Rav Huna, says that the shoe should go on the foot with the makkah. To understand the next Gemara, interesting, this is a sugya where which foot should you put the shoe on first? Rabbi Yechon was of the opinion when it comes to shoes, because shoes ultimately have to be tied, so the entire shoe basically is considered something that you tie, and therefore you should put it on the left foot first, because the mitzvah tefillin is done with the left hand. Generally, we always give more recognition to the right hand, like by a koyin when it comes to the avoda, you put al boyin yad yamin and the boyin aglov yamin. It's always on the right hand. By chalitza, it's the right. Everything's always the right side. But when it comes to tefillin, it's the left. So therefore, when it comes to shoes, which also are tied like tefillin, the entire shoe should be on the left side. That's one school of thought. And the other school of thought, we'll see later, like Kapshara, that no, that the shoe you put on the right, the left is only when it comes to tying. Rabbi Yechonon is of the opinion that you have to put on the left shoe first. And in fact, according to Rabbi Yechonon, it's so important, if you put on the right shoe first, you can no longer wear a left shoe. So what happened was, Rabbi Yechon, so we're going to prove from this incident, Rabbi Yechon holds like Rav Huna, Rabbi Yechon Rav Shem Bar Abba, Rabbi Yechon says Rav Shem Bar Abba, Havli Misanoi, could you pass me my shoes? Yohiv Lei the Yamin, he gave him only the right shoe. Amalei, Rabbi Yechon made a comment, Asisa Maka, what you did was, that you made, that since you gave me the right shoe, you want me to put on the right foot, and only one foot, you're not going to walk around with one shoe, and not only that, it's only going to be one shoe, because once I put on the right shoe, I can no longer put on the left one. So you want me to walk around with one foot, and therefore must be because this foot has a wound, which is like Rav Huna said that the shoe is put on the foot that has the wound. Saying, well, that's no proof. Maybe the shoe goes on the foot that does not have the wound, and maybe the wound is on his left foot, and therefore he said, I'm going to put on my right foot, and I cannot put my left shoe on anymore. People will assume that my left foot is wounded. It doesn't prove any. All it proves is that when you, that you're justifying having one shoe because there's a foot that has a wound, but which foot it is doesn't. You cannot prove from this story. That you made my left foot wounded. So you can't prove one way or another. However, we're introducing now the subject about the shoe. When the Rav Yechon is consistent with the Jew, Rav Yechon kit tefillin, that shoes are like tefillin. Kach menalim, that's how you put on shoes. Ma tefillin bismol, tefillin on the left side. So too, v'af menalim bismol. So too, the shoes you start, not only the tying, but even the placing the shoe should be on the left side first, because ultimately the shoe is not a shoe until you tie it. So therefore, the entire shoe is treated similar to tefillin, that you start on the left side. Meisav, that's a question. It says, "Kishu noyel." When you put on your shoe, noyel shall you mean? First, you put on the right, and then the left one. Now, l'chayi, the Gemara could have answered very simply, which I don't know why. That's talking about a shoe that doesn't have anything to tie, and if you have nothing to tie, then you put on your right shoe first because it's not like tefillin anymore. So, what's the problem? Maybe in those days, all the shoes had to be tied. Anyway, on Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hash to the Tanya Chana." We look in the Braise one way that you should put the right shoe first. And on Rabbi Yehuda, "Hachi Rabbi Yehuda, the tiny is you should put on the left shoe first." The Avad Hachi, Avad Avad Hachi. You have a choice. You can do either one. I'm the Baya Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, Hamasil Rabbi Shmuley. Why do that? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda never heard of this Braise. And if you have a Shmuley, have a Hadar Ben. If he would have heard it, he would have changed his mind. So why follow Rabbi Yehuda at all? And the Inam Shmuley, because of Ein Lachah Gaisa Mishnah. And if he heard it, maybe he holds that Lachah is not like that Mishnah, and therefore we follow maybe the, no, so Rabbi Yehuda said back, maybe Rabbi Yehuda did hear about it, but he decided that Allah is not like it. That's why I'm giving you a choice. So what should one do? Yorei Shemaim, if you're a God-fearing person, Yoytzei Yidei Shnei, and you should do both. That's just very interesting, that a Yorei Shemaim does both. So the way we dress, somehow or another, manifests our Yorei Shemaim. That we apply importance to every activity that we do. And we associate it with mitzvahs. So the right, because of the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the left because of tefillin, and that. So therefore, we tie everything on mundane activities to mitzvahs. Umanoi, who is this Yorei Shemaim? Abrevi Ravona, Hechi Aver. How did he do? Sayim the Yemineh, he put on the right shoe. V'lo Kata, didn't tie it. V'sayim the Smaile, put on his left shoe. V'kata, he did tie it. V'hoda Kata Yemineh, then he tied the right shoe, because the tying is what the tefillin is all about. Rav Kahana actually wasn't concerned at all, right foot, left foot, and so on. Yet in Shulchan Aruch we paskin clearly that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yechon, we paskin like this Braise or like Rabbi Nachum Yitzchak, what a Yorei Shemaim should do. So it's interesting that Shulchan Aruch actually mandates this is how it should be done. Maybe because Rabbi Yechon said before that once you did the right, you can no longer put on the left. So it's not just like a chumru or a minig. It sounds like it's a very strong minig. So the Shulchan Aruch says you got to put on the right first, and then the left, and then you tie the left. And then the Alter Rebbe goes further and says that when you put on trousers, you should put on the right side first, and the left. Everything you should do is the right side first, even when you dress. When you take a shower, you wash your right side first, and then your left. Except if you're washing your head also, then your head should come first. But when you take off, you take the left off before the right. When you put on the shoe, you put on the right and the left. When you take them off, you remove the left, and then the right. When you bathe the reichet, first you wash your right side, and left. When you anoint yourself, you always give the right side priority. If you want to smear the entire body, or taking a bath, first you do your head. The head is the king of all the worm. Interesting expression. The head rules over the entire body. So it gets preference. Says the Gemara further, says the Mishnah, you shouldn't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Now we have a machlekes, which we'll learn about later, and especially Sechta Erevin, the machlekes, whether Shabbos is a time for tefillin or not, if Shabbos is man tefillin or Shabbos loves man tefillin. There talks about if you found tefillin, on Shabbos, what do you do? So we're saying over here that you shouldn't wear tefillin out in the street on Shabbos you don't have to say according to Mandom, Shabbos loves man tefillin, that Shabbos is not time tefillin. Surely you shouldn't be wearing tefillin out in the street. Even the one who holds the ladder with tefillin on Shabbos. Lo yetzi, you shouldn't walk outside. Why not? So in some Gemaras, the Gemara was scared to strap my tear, and you will carry it. But Rashi says, Dilme osi lasui b'shusaram. You might carry in shusaram. Why? Because if you're gonna, let's say you're walking out and you have to go to the bathroom, and when you go to the bathroom, you have to remove your tefillin shorosh, and therefore you might carry, you end up carrying four amas. Others learn this on the sefer. It says if in yotze ein lechayv chatzis, if you walked out, you're not liable mahatoda. Amar of Safra, if you're tefillin on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, you're not chayv. Rav Safra said, "Lo yitema li d'man Rosh Hashanah tefillin." You don't have to mention, of course, one of the Shabbos is man tefillin. Of course, you're doing a mitzvah. Of course, you're not chayv chatas. Ala filu man d'man Shabbos lav man tefillin. Even one who is not man tefillin, since we're weird every day, it's a levush. In the chayv chatas, my time at derech mal b'shavidah, you're wearing it like a levush, especially in those days when they wore it all day. So it's like a levush, and therefore you're not chayv. The Rabbanon don't want you because we're scared that you might take it off to go to the bathroom and then forget. So then what about Shalyad? So that's why other Rishonim say that, and Tesis quotes the HaKadosh Mikurbil, that the reason is over there, by Shalyad, we need to say the reason because of the strap. Because the strap might tell you, might end up carrying it. Says the Gemara, now we learned in the Mishnah about an amulet, a kameya. And we said that a kameya, if it's a mumcha, if it's been tried and proven, then you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. But if it's not tried and proven, you're not going to carry it because it's not part of a dress. It's not a tachshit. It's not an ornament. It's you're carrying it for a purpose which you which has never been proven that it works. That's effective. Now we're going to learn. There's two kinds of mumcha. There's a mumcha on the doctor who actually issued it, or there's a mumcha on the kameya itself. That means any doctor who've written this particular kameya with these words and chants and so on, it'll always be effective. So, says the Gemara, "Amar Papa Loi Tema." You don't have to say that we require. Ad the Mumcha Gavra, that the person who wrote this amulet has been proven to be an expert. Um Mumcha Kameya, and the Kameya as well. We'll see soon how somebody becomes a Mumcha. It has to be three times, and how a person becomes a Mumcha, or how the Kameya itself becomes a Mumcha. Elakiva the Mumcha Gavra. So, we don't need that both of them should be a Mumcha in order to carry the Shabbos. If the doctor who wrote it, or the Rav who wrote it, afagav the le mumcha kameya, if the person is a mumcha, even though the kameya itself is not a mumcha, which means that if anyone else would have written this kameya, it wouldn't work. It's only this particular person who writes it that it works. It's good enough that you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. In fact, this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden attacked Rabbi Enison Abishitz in the Sefer Ding Atzei Rosim, was that he accused him of all kinds of things because he used to issue kameyas. And these kameyas were very effective. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that these kameyas sound like it has Kabbalah in it and following Shapsi Tzvi. So kameyas were used quite often, even in recent times. Dekanami, I prove it to you. You don't need that. It should be that the doctor should be an expert, and the kameya itself should be proven. The Tani, it says v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'enei min ha-mumcha. It doesn't come from a doctor or a person who is a mumcha. So does that mean that if the person is a mumcha, that is good enough? Now the Gemara will explain. Talk about what we learned. Eizoi kameya mumcha. What's the definition that of a kameya, an amulet, that it itself is considered tried and proven? Kol sheripa v'shina v'shilish. Any kameya that worked three different times. Echad kameya shel ksav, whether it was written in writing, some sentence, the echad kameya shel ikorin, or whether it was purely herbs, some kind of herbs or roots of herbs that you'd make somebody wear. It doesn't matter. If it worked three different occasions, echad chayli sheyesh bar sakana, whether the person is sick, echad chayli sheyesh bar sakana, whether he's sakana or not, loishin nichve, we're not talking about a person necessarily that became already sick once, and I'm trying to prevent the second time. Elishla yichpe. But we could be talking about a person that he never was sick before, or she was never sick before, but they come from a family who was sick. Nichpe is actually, what's it called again? Oh, slipped my tongue.
Oh. It's usually called epilepsy.
That's it. So, yeah, usually it's epilepsy. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that, but we're not talking about somebody who was an epileptic once, had an experience, and therefore he's wearing the kameya. Even the person never had an experience, but he comes from a family, and because it's hereditary, that's called a kameya mumcha. Thank you. The kosher, you're allowed to tie it, umate and untie it, afilu b'shusram. So you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, because then it has a use, a purpose. It's considered like a tachshit. ubavad, but you have to carry it in a normal way. Shalayi kishani, you shouldn't tie it b'sheid onto a bracelet or b'tabas onto a ring, because that's not the normal way of carrying it. The yaitzibay b'shusaram b'shud then, because then madis ayin. It doesn't look like it's a kameya, and who knows what it's for, and it looks like you're trying to wear it as something, you know, something cool, as a tachshit, and this is not a tachshit. So therefore, you, it looks like you're carrying a Shabbos. Even though you're not, because technically it's a kameya. Says the Gemara, so you're telling me that a kameya is if it was used three times and it worked. I'm asking another question, but we learned. But Tanya, didn't we learn? Ezo kameya mumcha, what's considered tried and proven kameya? Kol sheripa gimel bnei adam ke'echad. Before you said that even the same person, if it was used three times on three different occasions, it works. Another Bryce that says it has to work on three different people for the same sickness in order to be considered a mumcha. It depends what we're trying to say, what we're trying to prove is a mumcha. Ha lumchuya gavra, when it says three different people, then we're trying to prove that the doctor himself is a mumcha. So therefore he uses three, because why? Because when you have three different people, generally the three different sicknesses. So each sickness you gave a different kameya, so each kameya was only used once. Right, for that particular sickness. So they're different, so the kameyas have never been tried and proven. But the person who issued it issued three different kameyas, and they all worked. So by saying gimene adam is because we're trying to depict three different sicknesses. So that proves that the person is an expert, is a mumcha. And that's good enough. that means that in the future, any kameya he writes, not only these three, when we say that the person is a mumcha, means any kameya he writes, a lot of carrying Shabbos, because definitely it'll work. He has proven himself. And just like the Rashi brings an analogy that if an animal is a mu'ah by first goring a cow and then goring a donkey and then goring a camel, then he becomes a mu'ah for goring any animal. Not only these three, any animal. Same thing here. This guy's a mu'ah, he can write any kameh he wants and you'll have to carry a Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, and ha'olim chuya kameh, if we want to prove that this kameh is considered a mumcha, then it has to be the same kameya working three different times, the same sickness, and by writing the same person, because usually, you know, with the same sickness, it keeps it coming back. But truth of the matter, it doesn't matter if it's the same person or three different people, if it's for the same sickness and the same kameya, and it works three times, or the same words in the kameya works three times, then you've proven this kameya works, and therefore, any doctor can write this kameya. And if they write this kameya, it works, it's a mumcha. Particularly for me, it's obvious. If Tlas Kameya, if somebody wrote three Kameyas, the Tlas Gavi, three different people, and each one Tlas Azimna, and each Kameya was used three different times. So like nine times. So three Kameyas, three different sicknesses, and each one was used three times for that particular sickness. So now you prove both. Then at Mucha Gavra Vatamcha Kameya, you prove but both am Mumchim. Side the Kameya, because the Kameya was used three times for the same sickness, and side the person, you use it three times. Tlosa kameila, what about tlosa kameila, tlosa gavre? So what happens if you use three kameis? So I'm going to see what that base is. Okay, if you use three kameya for three people, chad zimna, and each one only once, so you have three different people, each one you gave a different kameya to, and it worked. Then obviously the doctor who or the person who issued it proven himself three different kameyas and they're all effective, so he can now write any kameya he wants. But the kameya itself hasn't been proven that it works, because each one was only used once. What about chad kameya letlasa gavra? But if he used the same kameya for three different people, then kima itmechay gavra itmechay. Then for sure the kameya has been proven, tried three different times, same kameya. But the person who wrote it doesn't prove anything. Only this kameya works. Now the Papa has an interesting question. What about Tlosa Kameya Lechad Gavra? You wrote three Kameyas, three different Kameyas, to the same person, right? So it's not, it's the Kameya hasn't been tried and proven, it's the person who's been tried and proven. But which person gets the credit here? Is it the doctor or the person who wrote the Kameya, or the Rav wrote the Kameya? Or is it the Chayla? This particular Chayla has a good fortune that for him, Kameyas work. Mi Aminu say, Ha Asile, it healed him. So therefore, it's a doctor that's basically the mumcha. Dima mazola the haygavra who become a kabul ksava, or maybe it's the mazal of this person. And Rashi, like before, says it here again, that every person has a malach, and maybe this particular person's malach is the one that is taking care of him, and that's why it worked. But you cannot prove from here that anyone else works. Again, actually, malachai shel choilize, the malach of this particular sick person, infirm person. Teiku, good question. But if it's the malach of this person, then the person who wrote it has no right to write any other kameis, and or to anybody else and say it's a mumcha. Who knows? Maybe it's the choile that is, that has the malach that's appearing him. Says what I tell you, boy, who have a question? Is kameyin? Let's say inside the kameyin amulet, you also add a few words of the Torah. Yesh behem shem kedusha. This entire kameyin now become sacred. There's no sanctity to this kameyin. L'mayich has a man of kameyin. Ilema la'atzei linim nedlika. There's a fire. Let's say on Shabbos, are you allowed to carry things from one house to the next house, even though you didn't make an eid of chatzedes? Because we'll learn later that certain things you're allowed to spare. Toshma, we learn clearly habroches a siddur. That you, Rashi says a siddur, where you, let's say you recorded the brachas of Rosh Hashanah. I'm not sure why Rashi uses that as a highlight, unless in those days everyone davened by heart, and the only time they needed a siddur was for like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, davening once a year, they needed a siddur. But anyway, otherwise, you know, anything in siddur. Or minyanais harba shebetayde, or let's say you have certain things of parshas of the Torah, or certain subjects of the Torah that are written down. For fuwa ain matzil lezlik, you know, save them. You know, that I carry them on Shabbos to a chotzer. That's not morevis. V'nisrafim b'mekayim, let them burn. You didn't do anything; it's burning by itself. As the says, you know what the nafkamin is? Linya geniza, because it has, you know, certain psukim, certain words. Do you have to then basically put it in shemus or not? Says the Gemara. Toshba, come in here. Are you chotzer? Are you a kelim? Let's say you have holy words written on the handle of a keli, about kari amita, or on the bedpost. So what you do, can you toss it away or not? Yogayid, you have to carve out those words, the Eibush's name, the Yigun Hazenu, and that goes in Shemus, and the rest is not considered holy. So the same through the Kameya. So what's a Shail? El Lechonis Bebezakise, are you allowed to walk into the bathroom with it? My, what's it in? Yesh behen kedusha v'asid. This kedusha that you're not allowed to. I didn't aim kedusha v'shari. There's no kedusha in it, and therefore you can't walk into the bathroom. Toshma coming here. It says v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'ain el mumchi. Not allowed to walk around with a kameya if it does not come from an expert. Ha mina mumchi, but from an expert, enough you can walk around. Now we just said before that we don't want you to walk around with tefillin on Shabbat because you might have to take it off to go to the bathroom and then you'll end up carrying it. So why don't you worry the same thing about the kameya? If you go to the bathroom, you might have to remove it, and then you'll carry it. Is that ayah that we don't worry about going to the bathroom? That's what I want to prove. The Yamri Kameya from Kedusha. If you can tell me there's some Kedusha in a Kameya, Zimni in the Midstar Lebezakisa. You might have to, on occasion, you might have to go to the bathroom. But Osi, Lasuni, Dalam Shalabim. Why are you concerned? You might carry for Amish Shalabim. Says the Gemara, who said, when it says you're allowed to walk around on Shabbos with a Kameya, who said we're talking about with Chabad words? Maybe we learn also to be Kameya Shalikarin if you have herbs. Also, certain herbs are supposed to be, you know, protected some way, and therefore that's what you're carrying, not you're allowed to walk into a bathroom. Says, but in no way, we just, the opening braisa started off with the Vatanya, the braisa we just learned said, Echad Kameya Shel Ksav, the Echad Kameya Shel Likaron. Whether it's a Kameya written with words inside it, which sometimes has words from the Torah, and whether Kameya Shel Ksav, and you're allowed to wear a Shabbos. Now, according to you, if you're not allowed to walk in the bathroom with it, why are you permitted to walk within Shabbos? Let's be concerned that you might take it off. The reason is because it's a Chayesh B'Zakana, therefore we dispense with all these Gzedis. In the very same Braise it says, what Tanya says, Echad Chayesh Yesh B'Zakana, the Echad Chayesh Ein B'Zakana, makes no difference. Says the Gemara, Ella, Kivon Demasi, because it's there to cure you, Afagav the Nokele B'Yodi Nami Shapidami. No, but you're allowed to, at the end of the day, let's say you did take it off. It has a purpose even in your hand. Tefillin, if you take it off and you put it in your hand, it has no purpose. Your mom is carrying on Shabbos. Here, even if it's in your hand, it's l'chayda, it still has a purpose. It's curing you, so therefore, no big deal. So Gemara again pounces. We just learned before on the top of the page, you shouldn't wear it around your bracelet, around your ring, because people are going to suspect that you're carrying a Shabbos. So what do you mean, if it's in your hand, who cares? We do care, because it looks like you're carrying a Shabbos. By the time you look at the Braise, Rabbi Yishei Eimer, or Bevachalei Echzened B'yod, you shouldn't hold in your hand. We have it anyway, Rabbi Yishei Rabbim, carry it for Rabbi Yishei Rabbim. El Hoch Maizkin, you know, we'll answer. You know how it is? These amulet didn't just carry a piece of paper. It was like they had a case, and inside the case there was this amulet, and this case was made out of hide. V'mechufa oir, it was completely covered by hide, so therefore there's no zilzul if you take it inside a bathroom, because it's completely covered. That's why you don't have to even remove it. Even though it's Kaddish. Freddy Gemara, what are you talking about? Tefillin the Mechufa, tefillin. also is covered by the box at the bottom, and yet we learn clearly the Tanya Nichle Bezakisi Chayil Tzulim Barocha Gab Amos. If you want to go into the bathroom, you have to remove your tzulim a distance of 4 amos, even though it's covered with hide. As answer the Gemara, and we already had it before as well. Hosam Mishum Shin, on the outside of the hide in the Shel Roish, you have the shin carved out. The Amar Abaya, Abaya says Shin Shel Tfilim Halacha L'Moshim Mesinei. The shin on the bias of the tefillin is Halacha L'Moshim Mesinei, and therefore that's not covered. That's why you cannot bring it into a bathroom. Shaking over here, it's covered with hide. They're not worried. And the says the Gemara, is Machlekes Rishonim here, Rashi and Tosfos and others, what the Gemara is the next few lines. Amar Abaya says Dalet Shel Tfilin, by the kesher in the back, the dalet of the tefillin Halacha L'Moshim Mesinei. It's also Halacha L'Moshim Mesinei. We're trying to form the Avish's name, Shakai. And when Rabbi says, Yud Shel Tefillin, the Yud, by the Tefillin Shel Kesher, the Tefillin Shel Yad, the little thing sticking out, is Halacha L'Moshim Mesinei. Teisha already says that we're not great, based on the Gemara we had in the second Pedic, we're not great is the Yud Shel Tefillin. The only thing that is Halacha Mesinei is the Shin, the other ones aren't. Says the Gemara, we'll finish off with the Mishnah. The Mishnah also said, you shouldn't walk around with armor that's used for war. Leibis Shiryon, but Leibis Kastor, Leibis Fahim. What are they? Shiryon is that's armor. Which is what, you know, underneath their helmet they had like a little hat to make it comfortable. And makfayim, those are those shoes made out of metal. Amara pazamki, they're shoes made out of metal they used to wear. And since they don't, it's not normal wear, this is only if we go to battle, therefore you shouldn't wear that on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop over here.